Well, I wish it was a more festive night here at Little Caesars' Arena. The Pistons and the Cavaliers, a little Bogey and Wojo show here. And before the game, obviously, like every team is, there'll be a tribute to Kobe. And the players earlier today, like Blake Griffin, they talked about the Pistons players. They have something planned, and it might be the same thing other teams are doing, dribbling out the first 24 seconds or 8 seconds. And it really is amazing, and we don't have a lot of time to get into it. First reaction, of course, you're stunned. Second reaction when you hear about Kobe and then his daughter and 7 other people, then you're like just horribly saddened, even worse. And then now I'm just sort of trying to wrap my head around, like, what did make him that way, so big? Because I was trying to, what other former athlete, he's still in his prime as far as a human, but former athlete would have generated the outpouring of grief yesterday when Kobe Bryant was killed in a helicopter? Who else? Young enough that, you know, way too young to go, but around long enough that so many people had seen him play. I hate to say it, but it was like the sweet spot of love, that people loved him. He wasn't beating your team anymore because he wasn't playing, so now he was evolving into an Oscar winner and a Renaissance man and was even more beloved. It's horrific.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And look, the phone number is 248-539-9797, obviously leading into Pistons, Cavs, you know, so we don't have a whole lot of time to get into this, but... Now, I thought you made a good point last night. You tweeted out before you did your little Fox 2 appearance, and you just said, you know, you haven't seen an outpouring of love and reaction and posts and stories and quotes and, you know, all the videos that you could possibly find. And I mean, you and I have talked about several different incidents that have happened, people that have died, celebrities, musicians, whatever it may be, and I laugh at a lot of people that just, you know, they make the post about them and, oh my gosh, this is awful, and RIP, and I didn't do the RIP thing. I'm not really into that, but this is one where I didn't know the person. I didn't know Kobe.
Right. I covered him a little bit, but didn't know him, yeah.
But I felt like, and I think a lot of people felt this way, you felt like you kind of knew him. And for me, at least, this is the guy that was just, he was always there. He was always the guy that you could watch late in the game, take the big shot, hit the big shot. And I think that's part of the reason why so many people resonated with Michael Jordan in that sense. They were very similar. And I think it's a little bit more impressive that Kobe was able to do it and do it essentially the same way as Jordan, because he was the follow-up. He was the second act. And everyone could have sat there and said, man, we've seen this before. You know what? You're not Michael. I don't want to see this. And Kobe never worried about it. In fact, he embraced it, and he just said, I'm trying to be the guy. I'm trying to, you know, win. I'm trying to be the best player I possibly can.
He was not an accidental superstar. It was very purposeful, very planned, very meticulous. Am I imitating Michael Jordan? Of course I am. What the hell? Yes. He's the greatest. And here's the thing, too. Kobe Bryant, and I would say if he was alive today, but when he was alive 2 days ago, he would have said it, because he would laugh at these modern-day superstars and their jackass load managements. And I think when he did his farewell speech at the Staples Center and ended with Mamba out and put down the microphone, I think during that he said, I see all these players, you know, chasing things, and what you can say about the Mamba is he always stayed right here. Right here. Like, if people wanted to come to play with him, that's fine. He wasn't chasing anybody over the country.
And he lived that.
And I know, and he's basically mocking in a insightful way the stars today. And that is another reason why he transcended all of it.
Well, and look, everyone's looking for a way to honor Kobe and, you know, somehow resonate with him and how he impacted. That's the best way to go about honoring him. Because you know what? I can't defend what goes on in the NBA and some of these young stars who are, you know, they're hanging out playing video games on Twitch late at night, and they're being, you know, dingbats out doing whatever they are. And I get it. You're young. You got a lot of money. That's fine. But the best way to honor Kobe is to what? I don't know. Care a little bit more. Work a little bit harder. Play a little bit harder. Because you want to know why they're having some ratings issues? You want to know why some attendance issues are down? People don't see the same red asses that they were
used to
seeing before.
The same drive. Instead of worrying about where you're going to play next, who you're going to play with next, how big will your max contract be, should I have a one-year opt-out, Anthony Davis, or should I commit? He just made himself better. On Fox 2 last night, Tim McCormick is on with us, and he told a story. McCormick knew him very well. He was in the NBA Players Association, and he said Kobe would be up, get up at 4 in the morning to work out in the morning after a game, and somebody asked him, why 4 in the morning? Why not 7 in the morning or whatever? And he would say, I wanted to be working when I knew my opponents were sleeping. And I knew everyone was sleeping at 4 a.m. And that gave him this, I guess, this extra drive. This was not like he was just born with a gift. No, he worked the hell out of it. He jumped from high school to the NBA back when everybody figured they were all going to fail that tried it. And he was difficult at first, difficult for some coaches. But I don't know. I've been trying to figure it out and put it in words. And like most people say, no words really describe it.
No, and of course, the suddenness, the surprise, the way that it, unfortunately ended up happening. I do think that is, one of those reasons why people have reacted the way that they have. I mean, for me, I'm always on my phone. I have my phone right here, right? And yesterday I had my parents over. We've done some work on the house and, we wanted to have lunch and just kind of hang out and catch up, right? And my dad and I went to go pick up a pizza and we sat at the bar and had a drink. I had my phone in my pocket from like 2:35, I guess, till about 3:20 when we got back to my house. And I walk in the door and my girlfriend immediately goes, did Kobe Bryant die? And I'm like, what? Yeah. What are you talking about? And I instantly pull my phone out and I see 27 text messages, unread or whatever, and a couple of notifications. And I'm just like, no, it can't be. And I immediately turn the TV on. I go and I toss, ESPN and then, ABC and the Pro Bowl, of course, was going on. And it hits you like a ton of bricks. And I apologize to my parents, actually earlier today, because I couldn't stop reading, scrolling, reloading Twitter. I couldn't stop watching the coverage that was on the TV from 3:20 in the afternoon until literally 12:30 at night. I did not turn it off.
No, it just got...
The Grammys, the coverage, the news, everything.
It just got sadder and sadder when you found out his daughter was on, and then you found out he was going with her to her basket, to a basketball game. And that's another reason why I think it's so staggering. And the phone number is 248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136.
That's the other element of it, too.
Well, that exactly. But also, when you say, why is so stunning? Like, when Michael Jackson dies and Prince dies, stunning, horrible, but risky lifestyles and have had issues.
Well, I never felt like I knew them, though.
No. People compared to, like, Dale Earnhardt. All right, he was in the most dangerous sport in the world. And, it was still stunning. This was a dad getting up on a Sunday morning. I know a different mode of transportation than regular people are used to. But you know why he had a helicopter and took it back and forth and he was taking his daughter? Because he wanted to get to the Staples Center when he was playing, not being stuck in traffic for an hour and a half. With the helicopter, he can get there in 15 minutes. Why was it important? So he could be warmed up and ready. And also, after a practice, he could be back in 15 minutes to pick his kids up from school. And I saw an interviewer ask him, say, well, why didn't you just have your wife pick it? Well, you didn't have to rush back. And he goes, I'm gone so much. If I have a chance to go back and pick up my kids from school, that's what I'm going to do. So before, if anyone thinks, helicopter, kind of ostentatious. No. Well, if you can afford it, but it was basically for family reasons.
Well, and that's like the stunning thing to me is as well, how many times do you hear, I don't know why this comes to memory, but, Brady Hoke ended up, I think at his press conference, when talking about coaching and all the different stops that he made once he got to Michigan, he said he missed the birth of his daughter. And several coaches talk about all the time that they miss. And I know we make the jokes about, boy, they're spending all this time in the office. They never see their family and all that. But you hear from guys who have that regret. So to have a guy who recognizes that during his career, while he's at the peak of his powers, it is truly unbelievable. Not to mention, okay, Kobe Bryant is, he's Kobe. Like, there's really no other way of saying it. You also see a lot of athletes that have that, and they have this lifestyle, and they have this following and all that, and then they leave sports, and they don't have the structure, and they don't have the workout,
right,
and they don't have the thing to look forward to, and they get lost, and they don't, and you know, 5 years from then, they don't have any money, and they're struggling. He perfectly transitioned from being superstar Laker God to now being, or was being, this unbelievable entrepreneur.
And you know why he did? And this is a lesson for everybody, not just athletes. He mapped it out. He had it all mapped out. He had started working, you know, in production in Hollywood, and he won an Oscar for an animated short child's film, and it was all planned. He speaks three different languages. He educated himself. And maybe we're going over the top. Maybe lots of athletes do that. But his second act in life, the one that was coming with his daughter and was going to be just as brilliant, if not better, from everything you hear. Like you said, he already won an Oscar, for God's sake. That's what's so terrible. And of all the ways to go, taking your daughter to a travel league basketball game. Oh, my God.
And I think that's one of the things that made not just basketball fans, but just people in general really resonate
horrible.
with the story and the
horrible.
Tragedy as well.